grab your rings of Featherfall because we are on the air. My name's Trey.
I'm Nathaniel.
And welcome to another episode of Sheets and Geeks of Tyrants and Titans. All right, we're here.
We're doing it. This feels so weird.
I know, it's pretty crazy,
it's
isn't it?
Interesting, yeah.
We're in front of microphones.
I know.
Across from each other right now.
We're usually just across from each other.
And I know.
Not in front of
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of crazy because we were doing Bree's episode and like I had to be like facing like at an
sideways
angle.
Yeah, because she took her spot. I mean, yeah. I'm the one who's actually across
yeah,
from
you. Yeah,
I'm
just like going to be staring at you the entire campaign.
Full eye contact. I love this. It's beautiful.
Just prolonged eye contact, just right up.
No, this is the behind the scenes that no one else gets to know about.
No one ever wanted to know about.
No one ever wanted to know, never knew was going to happen.
No, yeah. This is the way that it was meant to be.
Absolutely. You know? It's beautiful.
So good. It's so good. I was telling Bree last episode that it's kind of weird going from like video and photography to now doing an audio medium. Like we could be in anything that we want right now.
Yeah.
And literally the only thing that matters is our voices.
Yeah. It is kind of crazy. It is kind of crazy because we're used to things like stage performances and like being in front of a camera and stuff like that, and that we're supposed to be a bit more, like, you know, performing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
This I can fully slouch down while still,
yeah,
like...
As long as your voice sounds good.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, we could just be, like, in our underwear right now, just hanging out, just us dudes,
Trey,
you know?
You're not in your underwear right now?
Not that the audience knows.
Okay. Hey, guys, sneak peek behind
sneak
the
peek.
Camera. Get ready for this. Are you ready? We're actually in our pants.
Oh my gosh.
Sadly, I know.
Yeah, it's sad. It's the sad truth. Oh, man. If you guys hear any voices in the background, that's not you going crazy, I promise. Our
Unless
wives.
You are.
It's true. You might be.
You might be going crazy.
Yeah.
Is this how you're going to find out that you're going crazy, though?
It's true. Our podcast. That should be like an underlined thing. You might go crazy.
You might go crazy.
Sheets and Geeks of Tyrants and Titans. You might go crazy.
You might be crazy.
You might be crazy.
You might already...
If you're listening to our podcast, I'm sorry.
This might be crazy.
This was the final straw. We didn't want to tell you this way.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, we have something that we're doing here, right?
D&D?
Yeah, that's right. Oh my gosh.
Oh my,
I completely forgot we're
Are
doing
we playing
Dungeons
that?
And Dragons. I think so.
Okay.
I spent like 2 hours.
Do you just
want
to talk?
Yeah, let's just talk this whole time.
This is going to be great.
Welcome
to our new talk show.
Yeah, we're just going to be talking. That's fine.
That's great.
I have a feeling after this, people will just be like, either it's going to be one of two things. Either get them a talk show or never let them talk again.
Probably a mixture of
probably both. But yeah. Do we have any announcements?
Not that I know of.
That's more.
I don't know. I haven't focused
that's
on
true.
Any of that stuff
that's
yet.
True.
We haven't gotten to that yet.
If you guys want to check out kind of more, because we're going to be posting weekly until we start into the actual campaign, and that'll be bi-weekly, at least for the first little while. If things start to grow really well and we start to having to make this more of a priority, then it'll be week.
Yeah,
probably be
we'll
weekly.
We'll see the responses and see how people are handling it or handling us.
Yes.
Can you guys handle
Can
us?
Can you take this?
Can you take this every single week?
Yeah, I'm so sorry. But then if you guys want to see stuff more often, you guys can go to our Instagram. We have been posting on there. We also will start posting on
Yeah.
We'll start posting on TikTok here pretty soon too, which will be awesome. And if you guys came here from that, hello.
Welcome. Hi.
It worked.
Welcome.
It worked.
There's more media out there.
Oh my gosh. It's crazy. Yeah. So
let's do
it. I think that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. All right. Here we go. Excitement fills your chest as your breath catches the chilled morning air. Your father and you had to tear down camp early to be able to get to Hallam before the end of the day. This was your first time being this far away from home. And you were so proud your father trusted you with such an important journey. One of your biggest clients yet, and at a party no less. You had traveled past the Field of Tears, staying the night in the tourist trap of Kippa, then the town of Karis, and now you can finally make the home stretch to the main city of Alduin. As your eager spirit grows for this new adventure, why don't you give us a little description of your character?
My character's name is Elias Fitzwilliams, and he's young at this point, right?
Yeah, still? He's around 10 years old.
So, he is a short beanpole of a kid, just an absolute twig. He's got a bit dirty blonde hair, a bit more leaning towards like light brown, short, and he's got a few freckles peeking through right now, probably a lot more when he's younger, and a gap between his teeth right now that eventually he grows into. But he is right now in just he's in a nice white shirt, tan trousers, and a dark green vest.
I love it.
And his first tricorn cap.
Ooh.
That his dad had made for him. So,
awesome. Yeah.
And he is bright-eyed and ready to go with his dad.
Your dad, as you're riding along, he kind of ruffles the top of your head over the hat, and he goes, "All right, you ready?"
Yeah, I'm really excited, man. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, you are in for quite an adventure.
Yeah.
And as you continue forwards, you begin to see it. Morning dew pulls away as it begins to reveal a silhouette of walls and a large door. As the overcast continues to disperse, more and more of the city is revealed. You continue to look up, continuously expecting it to end, but the gigantuan structure of the white towers of the Temple of Transmundane, the capital building of Alduin, and the main temple of the Holy Venerates of Stendari, said to be commissioned by and built for the great hero Hallam Karras himself. Then the gates open after your father speaks with the guards, and even in a machine of a city like Bonsme, you have never seen so many people. The buildings, all built and manufactured with such artistic care, it's beautiful. As you enter, your dad looks over at you and smiles.
Quite the view, isn't it?
Those are some very tall buildings.
Yeah, I have no idea how they did something like this.
Why would someone want to stay at the very top? That seems very scary.
I'd say so. I mean, you and I stay pretty close to the ground.
Yeah, I'd stay down here. Yeah, that's a lot easier.
It's where it's most comfortable.
Absolutely.
And you guys continue towards the temple, which you heard about your client, but you never expected anything like this. You continue to move forwards on your horse and cart and come to the Temple of Transmundane. It is beautiful. The tall white towers showing in a castle-like structure, the lining of gold on this building with long red and gold tapestries showing the symbol of Stenderi. And your father pulls up and he goes, "All right, we are here for some work. We got called by one of the venerates. We're the people to help for the party tonight." And one of the people comes up and they're like, "Oh, yes, of course. We'll have you come around back." And your father, "Hah!" And you guys begin to move towards the stables. So your father gets everything set up and you go into the temple. You walk into the halls and a smell of, just a light smell of incense and a beautiful craftsmanship as you walk forwards. One of the young clerics of the temple coming up, "Ah, how can I help you?" Your father smiles. "We're here to help prep for the party. We're the seamstresses, if you will." Ain't that right?
Yeah, personally, I prefer the term tailor, but seamstress works.
You always know what to say.
Thanks, Dad.
And they continue forwards and lead you to your quarters where you can put your bags down. It's a beautiful room, even for a guest room. You go into this room with mirrors. It's fairly recognizable room for tailoring. And your father begins to get set up. "All right, you want to set this over here for me, bud?"
Yeah, gotcha, Dad.
And you guys set up, and you have clients come in. And you begin to help them out, get things tailored for their big night. And your father, after a while, he says, "All right, bud, I know that this is a really exciting event for you. If you want to go explore, go ahead."
"Sure, yeah. Are you sure? I mean, I can help hold things for you."
"I got it from here, huh?"
"Okay. All right." And then Elias pretty much, like, scampers off. Like, he was waiting for his dad to say he can go explore.
100%. So you run around this temple and you see statues. You see a large statue with Hallam Karras himself, a large, very well-built figure. You wonder on whether or not it was over-exaggerated because of how defined the muscles are, or if this was actually how the hero of Alduin was built, with his companions, Imala, Vix, and Alec and Silas, all on his sides. A young Azimar, which you know as Silas. Alec, the fighter, who was the son of the king. Vix, the rogue. And Imala, the first cleric of Stenderi. You see them all on this pedestal, which is within the large gathering hall that will eventually hold the guests of tonight's party. Continuing forwards, you come to a hallway high up in the temple where not many people are. And you see a slightly open door.
There's not a lot of people around here?
Nope.
I'm gonna walk towards the door gingerly and peek through.
Okay. As you peek through the door, you see a young woman sitting at her window. She's in all white, elven ears, and her hair drapes down very far onto her person. Long, thin hair. Just a beautiful young woman staring off into the distance. Let's see, there we are. That was the wrong cue. There we go. As you watch her, a older man, one who you know is probably of from his dressings, you can see that he is probably one of the Council of the Venerates, which is the highest up person in Alduin. He comes by and smiles.
She's quite beautiful, isn't she?
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't mean to pry.
Don't mind. I'm sure she doesn't.
Oh, okay. I'm Taylor's son. I was just walking around and exploring. It's quite a beautiful building you guys have here.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. What's her name?
Her name is Luna. She, surprisingly enough, is one of the oldest ones here.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
After Hallam's return from fighting the last tyrant, he saved this young woman from his evil clutches. Creating this building, he made us swear to protect her. She is plenty able to leave this room, but yet still chooses to stay here, watching out the window for something we do not know. She does not speak, but even so is very kind. In all my years of service here, she has looked the very same. Some days I will come to read to her. It feels peaceful around her, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah.
After a few moments of speaking with this council member, you look back in and you see that Luna is smiling at you, and you feel an overwhelming peace come over you. Like this is one of the safest places in the world. And as afterwards, the council member offers to bring you back to your father, as this building is fairly large and practically maze-ish.
He already forgot which way the room was.
He forgot which way he came from in this hallway.
He honestly thought that that room, before he saw the elf in it, was actually the room his father was working in. And that's what he was looking for.
It was actually the room next to it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you got it. One over. So close. I know. So the council member leads you, and he afterwards invites your father and you to come to the party, and your father accepts. So after the day is done, your father and you go back to your room to get ready for the evening.
Are you ready?
I guess. The suit fits me rather well. But I mean, does it look good on me? Do I look good? This is my first party I've ever been to, Dad. I need to look really good.
You look very good, Elias.
Thank you.
As your father goes back to getting ready, you begin to hear voices. At first, you brush it off as voices outside, as there's a lot of people still getting ready for this party. But then you hear a very distinct voice. You hear this voice, and you feel a pull towards the wardrobe in your room.
Hey, Dad.
What's up, bud?
Did you hear that?
It stops. No. He looks around, a little creeped out, like, this is how it starts.
Never mind. I just thought I heard a voice. But there's a lot of people in this building now,
yeah.
So
yeah, of course.
Big echoey temples. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to the party, huh?
Yeah. 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 Yeah, yeah, I agree.
So your dad finishes tying your little what would you call it?
Little like tie. It's not really like a bow tie. I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, it's like one of those old fashioned like tie bow tie things.
It's an ascot. Let's
yeah,
be honest.
He's basically an ascot. Yeah,
he's wearing an ascot.
And you can tell like as you walk out the doors, everybody is just laden in just the most expensive garb out there. And even though your father's tailor work is amazing, you had to use some cheaper materials. It's not the most expensive, but it still looks nice. So as you're getting ready for the party, you begin to hear people coming through the doors. You walk out and people are already chattering and getting excited about the event. And it is booming. You look around and a smell of just amazing food comes to your nose, and you see a table just filled with all of these delicacies and all of these foods that just look so good. Your mouth is just watering at the thought of eating any of it. And as you come down to the floor, your father goes, "All right, I want you to be on your best behavior."
Okay, yeah. Hey, can I have some of the pork? That looks so good. Is that a pie? That do I get my own pie? There's a lot of them there. Do I get my own?
You go grab what you want, bud.
Okay, I'm gonna go grab that one. I'm gonna grab that one over there.
And he kind of just pats your butt and lets you go off. He trusts you.
Big mistake. I eat all the pies, Trey.
Every single pie.
Every single pie.
I want you to roll a constitution check.
Yeah.
So as you are finishing up, the a young woman comes up to you and she goes,
"Hey, is this your first party?"
Is it that obvious?
Oh, I just haven't seen you around here before.
Yeah, no. My dad made most of the suits around here, except that man's.
Really?
Yeah. That man's doesn't fit him well.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, he honestly needs an upgrade. Personally, I would go something with tails for him, but he looks like he went the whole tucked in look, and that does not look all that good. Anyways, yeah, it's my first party.
Well, it's nice to meet you.
Hi, I'm Elias.
I'm Juniper.
Nice to meet you, Juniper.
Would you like to dance?
Oh, I don't know how to dance.
That's okay. I would love to teach you.
Okay. Our like pastor says we shouldn't dance, but we're not near him, so we can do it, I guess. Yeah, we can dance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, let's dance.
So she takes you out onto the floor and you dance for a while and you suddenly start to hear it again.
This whole time dancing, Elias has just been staring at his feet, by the way. 100%. He hasn't looked up at all. He's staring at his feet, not knowing how to do the moves right.
100%. And as you are dancing, in your ears, the music begins to fade away. And you begin to hear it again. And you pass out. You wake up off of the dance floor. Your father over you. Elias! Elias, are you okay?
What happened?
Let's get you to the room, bud.
Oh. Did I throw up?
He looks off to the dance floor. And he looks back at you. No. Mm-mm.
I'd like to make a perception check to see if I
can. Go for it.
First roll of the game. Oh, and it's a 7. That's 0 because I'm a 10-year-old child. And children don't pay attention to things.
You can feel a little bit of something wet on your leg.
Oh no, I peed myself. Even worse, Dad, let's get out of here.
Oh, gosh. And your father goes, yeah, I think that's a good idea. And he picks you up and is walking with you. He walks you out down the hall as you're staring down at the red carpet. And you get to your bedroom. And he sets you on the bed and he pats your leg sitting next to you. And he just goes,
why don't you get a little bit of rest?
Okay, Dad.
Okay.
Hey,
yeah.
Stay away from the lemon meringue. It had a funky taste to it.
Mmm.
Yeah. I think it was the meringue. It was that's the meringue. That's what caused this.
Mm. It's usually the meringue.
It's usually the meringue.
It's always the meringue.
Gotta be careful when making meringue.
It's true.
Okay, you have fun at the party.
Okay, Dad. You sure?
Yeah, maybe bring me one more slice of pumpkin later, but...
You got it.
Thanks, Dad.
I'll grab you some of that pork, too.
Oh, please.
Okay. Once your stomach's feeling better. Absolutely. Then he goes to pat your stomach, and then he stops. Right.
Did I? Oh.
No. Goodness. No. No, you didn't. Nothing happened.
I'm going to get changed.
Okay. All right, bud. He gives you a kiss on the forehead and goes, rest up.
Will do.
And he goes out of the door and closes it. And you fall asleep for a little bit until you hear it again. And you feel that pull towards the wardrobe again.
Elias is going to get out of bed.
Okay.
Is he still hearing it after he wakes up?
He is.
Is there like a basin of water in the room?
There is.
All right. Elias is going to get himself something to drink.
Okay.
Drink some water. And he paces around the room a bit. But his eyes keep turning back to the wardrobe.
Okay.
And he's going to look over at it. And he's going to do the thing where you walk towards it, grab the handle, and then stop, turn away, walk back, come back to it, look at it. He looks behind it, looks around the other side.
Yeah.
He checks to make sure that the door is unlocked to his bedroom.
Sure.
Is his dad back yet?
He is not.
Okay.
Roll a perception check for me.
3.
3, okay.
I'm very tired.
You don't see anything.
Okay. I'm going to go to the wardrobe.
Okay.
I'm going to put my ear up against it.
Okay.
Do I still hear it?
You don't hear a voice, but you do feel a pull, like a vital pull that something is waiting for you beyond this wardrobe.
I'm going to take my hand off of it.
Okay.
Quickly run over to my disgusting clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to grab my hat.
Okay.
Put it on. And then I'm going to put my shoes on.
Cool.
And I'm going to walk up to the door. I'm going to open it up.
Okay.
Of the wardrobe.
As you open the wardrobe, you see there's no clothes in it. It's a fairly open wardrobe. But you notice there's an outline underneath on one of the back panels.
I'm going to step into the wardrobe.
Okay.
Make sure that the wardrobe, like, doors are open.
Okay.
And I'm going to look closer at the panel.
Okay. As you inspect the panel, you feel around that outline. And as you get to a point, it pushes in. Past where the wall should be.
I think I broke something.
100%.
And I'm going to push it in.
You jerk. I broke the wardrobe. Oh no, this is like a holy wardrobe or something. I don't know how this whole temple thing works.
And as you push it in, the panel opens up, and it opens into a small room.
Is it dark or light?
It is dark, except for some light that you can see is coming through what looks like a vent within a tunnel beyond it.
I'm gonna crawl into the room.
Okay. You crawl into the room and you see off to your left a small table that looks as if it should be for a, like a tray, for someone to put down a tray. But this is a very small room. Like, it looks like it would be just above your height.
I'm gonna go inspect you said it was like a table to set a tray on, right?
Yes.
I'm gonna go inspect that.
Okay. You look around it, and it looks like a fairly cheap table. You look under it, and it looks like it was used for a number of years, but is very dusty.
Okay. You said there was a grid, or like a grate in the wall?
Yes, down about probably 20 feet down into the tunnel beyond this room.
I'm going to turn around.
Okay.
Can I still see the wardrobe open?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to go towards that grate, but like every five or so steps, I'm going to take a look back behind my shoulder to make sure that door is still open.
Sure.
And I'm going to pull my hat down tighter on my head.
Sure. As you move forwards, you look into this grate, and you watch just as two of the Council of Venerates go into an office space.
Okay. I'm going to look through the vent. I'm just going to pull myself right close up to the vent.
Okay. So you're looking into this office, and you hear them go,
"I'm afraid that we've lost favor. I don't know.
I'm sure that it's not as bad as you're making it out to be. We can make this up. We can do something to make this better.
I hope you're right.
Come. Sit with me. We'll talk more about this after I make some tea."
Does it look like the grate is... Does it look like the grate is able to be opened from this side at all?
It's a very small, probably about 1 foot by 4 inches grate. Looks like it's just made for light to be able to come through.
Okay. I keep watching.
Okay.
But again, look behind me, make sure that the wardrobe is still open, all that stuff. Like, sure. I have an exit.
It is indeed still open.
Okay.
And you hear them talk.
"What have we done in this time? Have we helped people?"
"Of course we've helped people. We've helped people see the light. We've helped people in ways that are unbeknownst to anyone."
And you watch as the standing venerant member comes over to a small teapot underneath the grate that you're at. Can you roll a stealth check for me?
I'm rolling awful today. That's a 6.
Oh, boy. The council member, as he's making the tea, he looks a little confused at first, and then begins to look up towards you.
I pull back.
Okay. He looks up, and he looks deeper into the grate. And he thinks for a moment before beginning to step back to try to get a better view.
I step back into the room, back towards like where that table is.
Okay. And not seeing anything, he goes back to the conversation a bit more hush now.
Can I sneak back towards
the you can. Roll a perception check for me.
Come on, baby. Okay, that's better. 18.
Okay, you cannot hear anything.
Oh, man.
Rolled real good.
Oh, man, I guess they did, yeah. That was above a 10. The first roll above a 10 today. Okay, if I can't hear anything, I'm going to not risk it. I'm going to head back into the room. I'm going to try to put the panel back.
Okay, the tunnel does continue down.
Oh, it does continue down.
Yeah, and you can still feel that pull.
I'm going to look back towards the wardrobe.
Okay.
And then I'm going to turn and start heading down the tunnel.
Okay. As you continue down the tunnel, you come to a small little doorway with, looks like a very old door with a, with
a, that was a little treat just for you guys.
Yeah, you know, some ASMR for you guys. as you come to this door, you see a small little window and it leads to the kitchen. You can see a bunch of people running around trying to put stuff together. You see a tall orc woman is like very large. She's commanding orders for everybody to put different stuff together.
Do this. Put it in the saucepan. I don't care if you dropped it. Make another one.
I'm going to peek through. Do I see any shoddy looking lemon meringue pie?
None that's like a melody.
Oh my goodness. All right.
That's a really bad joke.
It was a really bad joke. We should cut that. We should end it here, you know?
Yeah, I think it was here. That was the whole campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was it. You see some lemon meringue that's in a trash can.
Good.
Good riddance. Lemon meringue is a BBG.
I would like the podcast to know that Nathaniel actually really likes lemon meringue pie, yeah. But Elias has bad history now with lemon meringue pies.
100%.
But Nathaniel would gladly accept any lemon meringue pie or any pie that if any guests or like fans wanted to send pie into just Nathaniel. Not saying to send it to anyone else, first, just for Nathaniel.
Yeah. Lemon meringue is actually really good. Lemon meringue.
Anyways, back to the game.
As long as it's made well.
Yes.
So you watch them for a little bit and then continue down the tunnel. And as you come to a place right where the ground of the temple is, right where the temple meets the ground, you see another little grate looking out, and you see a man in ragged clothes. It looks like he used to be a noble or adjacent to one. but it looks like his clothes have been torn and ragged, and he's skipping out of the temple singing a song. He skips towards the city and disappears from your view.
Do I still feel that tug to keep?
You do.
I'm going to keep going.
Okay.
Do I have any, besides the grates that are spattered throughout this tunnel, do I have any other light source?
You do not.
Okay. He's going to mostly walk with, like, his hand on the wall.
Sure.
As he's going.
Sure. As you move down the tunnel, you hear above you some scraping on top. Like, it sounds like above you. Sounds like a... And it moves until you get to a point where you can't hear it anymore.
So it was like it was following me?
It sounded like it was something labored trying to push something above, like in the floor above you.
Okay, I keep going with a bit more speed.
Okay. You move a bit faster and you come to a point. Roll a dexterity check for me.
10.
10. Very nice. You just barely catch yourself as you look down and there's a spiral that looks like it leads down somewhere. Fairly sharp spiral.
Okay, like a staircase?
It looks like you would be able to get back up fairly easily.
Okay. I came this far.
Okay.
I'm gonna keep going.
You continue forwards, and... Gotta find the right track here. Here we go. You come to a large room. This is where the pole was leading you to. You look around. It's very dark. But for some reason, there's a light source you can't see that's giving off silhouettes. Except for one thing. On a stair, you see glowing a sickly green, a pocket watch.
Now, pocket watches have been in Bosmi, right? Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen any around here.
Nope.
What is this doing all the way over here? I'm gonna step forward.
Okay. As you step forwards, you see on this pocket watch a large green serpentine eye. And around it, the pocket watch is decorated with crows, including a crow connecting it to the chain. And you begin to hear it again.
I can give you what you want.
Oh, it's closed out of the... thing. There goes the ambience.
We'll cut that.
Where is it? There it is. There we go.
I can give you what you want.
This is a tense moment.
Gotta break the tension sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I don't even know what I want.
It doesn't answer.
What are you? Who are you?
I can give you what you want.
Uh, I'm going to step forward towards the pocket watch.
Okay.
And I'm going to reach out my hand.
Okay.
And I'm going to just touch the face of it with one finger.
As you touch the face of the pocket watch, you feel your hand slip and it grabs it completely. You feel the moisture sucking from your body. You feel like you're dying. It is terrifying and it is horrible pain. Until suddenly it stops. You blink your eyes and you're back to normal. But the pocket watch is in your hand. And you feel this is yours. It belongs to you now. And as you get that feeling, you suddenly hear a scream. And as you hear that scream, suddenly you look around and you hear someone from upstairs yell, "Who's down there?" And you see this is a tomb. You see the same face of the man on the statue that you saw hours ago on a casket above you, the stairs that you were on leading up to it, and you look around and there's a young Arakakra woman looking at you around the same age as you, and she begins to run towards the same entrance that you came from.
I follow.
Okay.
What's going on? What happened?
You run with her, and as you feel like you're catching up to her, suddenly you come to a fork in the road. There's three exits, and you remember you came down from the right.
Okay, where is she going?
You lost her.
I go to the right.
Okay.
Wait. Is the voice coming from the right?
The voice was coming from behind you.
Okay.
And you suddenly hear footsteps coming towards you.
I go to the right.
Okay. You go up and you run past everything. And you suddenly get back to your room.
I quickly put the panel up and I close the wardrobe.
Okay. You hear running footsteps outside of your door.
I hop into bed.
Okay.
I quickly pull off my hat and I throw it across the room and I hop into bed.
You hop into bed just as soon as your father opens the door. Elias, are you okay?
What? Yeah. What's going on?
I don't know. There's been yelling about someone breaking into some tomb. I don't know.
Oh, I've been in bed.
Okay. Just stay there. I don't even know if I should get out there. No, I'm staying in here with you.
Yeah, that sounds like a good
idea,
Dad.
He closes the door and he locks it. And he stays with you the rest of the night.
Okay. Do I still have the pocket watch in my hand?
You do.
I put that hand under the pillow and it stays there all night.
Okay. As you're falling asleep, you can feel your hand is the reflex to hold on to it tightly begins to loosen and you feel you can let it go. But part of you doesn't want to. The next morning, are heading home. You had a very adventurous night and your father checked up on you in the morning, making sure that you were okay. On your way back, you felt compelled to sit in the back of the carriage behind your father because you wanted so badly to look at this new treasure of yours. But as you look at it, you look up and you watch as a crow begins to follow you home. The next night, you find yourself in nightmares. Death, destruction, green smoke, red wire, veins? It's hard for you to tell. Until you wake up. Haunted by these dreams, these nightmares, it jerks you awake. And in front of you, you see that crow staring at you from one side. And as it turns its head, you see that very same serpentine eye, that sickly green, staring at you from the side of the crow's head, replacing one of its eyes.
Are you here to kill me?
It comes up to you, hops onto your lap, and lowers its head, staring at you.
Hi.
It headbutts you.
Ow.
And then it lays down.
I scoot to the other side of the bed, kind of getting away from it, and like just staring at it.
It gets up and lays across your lap.
Mom is gonna be very mad if she finds you here in the morning. So you should probably leave.
It sets its head on your stomach.
Okay, well, do you have a name? Okay. I'm going to bed now. I'm kind of tired. I've been having weird dreams, so I'm going to bed. And I'm like 10. I've got a lot of stress right now, man. So
I've got so much going on in my life. So much going on. Like, got like chores. I've got so many.
So many more chores now.
So many responsibilities. So many,
yeah. I can't wait till I'm older and I'm perfectly and have no responsibilities whatsoever.
I'm perfectly emotionally stable. Yeah,
exactly.
As you lull back to sleep, you find you sleep much better. Let me check my notes here. I haven't checked them in a while. There we go. Right. The next morning you wake up and the crow is gone. A singular feather laying on top of your sheets.
I pick up the feather. And I kind of spin it in my hands for a bit. And then I'm going to put it by my bedside.
Okay. Each night you have nightmares again. And each night the crow returns. And when it returns, you sleep much better. Walking down the road for the next while, Elias feels a pull towards the local graveyard. It feels comforting. The thought of being in that place. Not dead, but just a comforting thought of being in a place like that. And one day that pole feels like it's time to finally come home.
Elias is going to take a longer route home from the schoolhouse just so he can walk past the graveyard. Not going in, because his mother said to never go in there, but just to walk past it.
Okay. You walk past it, and you feel so strongly like you want to go in, and you see that crow sitting on one of the graves.
What are you doing in there? Should I come in?
It kind of like throws its head back. Don't you look at me like that.
Throw it back?
Throw it back,
the
yeah.
Crow's throwing it back in the graveyard.
It's twerking crow.
Anyways.
But yeah, he gestures for you to come in.
I go in. I cautiously make sure none of my schoolmates
100%.
Are nearby.
Yeah.
And then I leave my books outside the graveyard, and then I go in.
Okay. You go in, and an older man, after a while, comes up to you.
What are you doing here?
I'm sorry, sir. The crow looked super pretty, and I'm sorry. I'll leave.
No. It's fine. Don't get many visitors around here. Feel free to stay as long as you want.
Okay. What's your name?
I don't get many, don't got many friends, if you know what I mean.
Searching through notes.
I don't know what you're talking about. I know exactly who this is. A lot of NPCs to, I think his name is Jasper, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I'm so good. No, I'm gonna leave that in. Okay, I just want people to know how awful of a DM I am.
He goes, my name is Jasper.
Oh. I'm Elias. Elias Fitzwilliams.
Nice to meet you, Elias.
You're old man Jasper, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I always mean to point out your age.
No, no, a lot of rumors go around town.
Yeah. A lot of the moms don't like you.
Oh my goodness, are you dying?
Maybe.
Oh. I'm
never
sorry.
Know these days.
Well, you kind of work in a place that's kind of accepted.
Always got one waiting for me.
That's very disturbing.
Maybe. Like I said, don't get many visitors around here. You know this crow?
No, but I thought about naming it.
What's your idea?
I was thinking about calling it the Old Maid, because it seems to like be a bit like a bully, but also kind of nice. So like, you know, like an old maid.
I like that.
Yeah, I do too.
Just take care of her.
Okay.
All right. Like I said, feel free to come back anytime you want. Don't get many visitors. Nice place to think.
Okay. I'm gonna go Now,
okay.
Mr. Jasper.
Mr. Fitzwilliams.
Thank you. okay, bye. And he runs off, very disturbed by this random old man.
Over the years, you continue to feel that pull, and every once in a while, you give in. Continuing to come back to this place. Every once in a while, and every time, that crow will join you. As if it wants to be near you, it wants to know more about you. And it wants you to know more about it. In your dreams, when you are with the crow, you hear a voice continue, but it's different than the one you heard before.
Hello? Hello?
Hi. Are you in my brain?
I can be.
That's very disturbing.
Is it?
There's a lot of weird things happening to me right now, and I'm getting older, so there's even more weird things happening to me. So, this is a lot to take in.
How old are you?
How many years has passed?
He's about, I want to say 14 at this point.
About 14 at this point.
Wow, how time flies.
Do I know you?
No. But I know you.
Well, that's very foreboding.
It is. I believe you gave me the name Old Maid.
Are you my crow?
In a way.
I heard crows could talk, but I didn't think that this is how they did it.
Very soon, Elias, I'm going to need you. Can you help me?
That would entirely depend on the circumstances.
I suppose it would.
Yes.
You are a boy of great moral character.
Why, thank you. Those are some big words that I kind of understand now.
I can teach you those words and more if you'd like. I can teach you much more.
Okay. Okay.
Follow the dreams. Won't you do that for me?
I can certainly try.
I'm glad. I'll talk to you again, Elias Fitzwilliams.
Okay, old maid.
I'll talk to you again.
And you wake up?
Is old maid there with me?
She is not.
I am going to go back to bed.
As the time continues to pass, you find the times that the old maid joins you is at night and in the graveyard. Sometimes you hear her talk, sometimes you don't. But yet, you can always feel you understand her, and you feel that she understands you more than anyone. And sometimes, in the times when you feel worried or scared, Charlotte joins you. She comes with you to the graveyard, and though she doesn't understand what's going on and sometimes gets a little freaked out, she wants to spend time with you. She wants to be there for you. And then the day comes. The day it all changed. You get to church. The local church of Stendary, a small wooden building, paint chipping off the side, and a small bell above the door in. Your family has come every weekend, and Charlotte is waiting for you at the door.
Hey! Hello, Charlotte. How's it going?
It's going good. Are we still on for after church?
I look around, make sure her father's not around. Definitely. Yes, of course.
Good.
Yeah.
I have something I want to share with you.
Oh, goodness. We just held hands. Is everything okay? Like, we were just holding hands.
You're so funny.
I heard, okay, what's up? What's wrong? You okay?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll see you afterwards.
Okay. Elias is going to pull his pocket handkerchief out and dab his forehead and put his hat back on. And then take it back off as he enters the church.
And she chuckles and leads you in. And she sits towards the front left side of the church as you sit with your family kind of in the middle. And the day goes, the service goes on as it usually would. Except it doesn't. In the middle of the service, you begin to feel lightheaded. You feel weak, sweating profusely as you try to pay attention. But your vision goes elsewhere. And then you see crows begin to fly into the church. Where they came from, you're too out of it to think of. And they sit in the rafters, watching.
Is the old maid among them?
She is at the front of the church. And as you watch, you see broken glass as undead begin to crawl into the space of the church, coming towards the pastor, Charlotte's father.
I stand up. And I try to make sure, is anyone, like, paying attention to any of this? Or am I the only one?
You see panic.
I go run up towards Charlotte and her father.
Okay. You begin to run up, and you feel this pressure begin to build in you. You feel like you can help, unlike anyone else. You feel a power, a desire to destroy these things that are coming in, and they are coming to attack her father.
I run forward, and realizing I didn't bring any weapon or anything with me, I hold out my hand to stop them.
As you hold out your hand, you see green energy beginning to collect, and the pocket watch slides down. You see the ring of the pocket watch on your finger, and you feel the urge to spin it.
I do.
And as you spin it, the chain grows and becomes stiff, and the metal breaks open into a scythe. And you are ready. You feel ready. And you go to attack. Roll to attack for me with your stats.
Oh.
What'd you get?
That's, okay. That's a total of 13 to hit.
Okay. As you swing down, the illusion fades. And it hits into the wood of the pedestal. And you look around and everyone is staring at you. Everything of the illusion is gone. And all that is left is a scythe in your hand. And your whole body is covered in black, with green and black smoke coming off of it before it begins to fade back into who you know yourself to be.
Who are you?
You see Charlotte's father standing above you, incredibly upset.
Elias Fitzwilliams, you know me, sir.
Get out! Get out!
I let go of the scythe, and I back away, and I just put my hands up, and I look around, seeing the panic on people's face, and then I turn and I run.
Okay. As you run, you feel the pocket watch back in the breast pocket of your Sunday wear. As the time has passed and your family is standing outside the house as you have decided to leave to look for what is truly going on. Your father, your mother, your sister, they all want so badly for you to be okay. And even though they protested and said that they could figure it out, you knew that you wouldn't be able to find your answers here. Your father gives you a hug. Then he steps back and he goes,
I don't know what's going on right now, but I want you to know I love you and I'm proud of you. And
it's okay, Dad. I understand. I just, I want to come back. I'm gonna come back. I just need to figure what's going on. And also, I want to see the world before I take over the business.
Your mother sniffles, and she goes,
I'll be waiting here for you.
Yeah, of course, Mom. Of course.
She gives you a big hug and a kiss on the cheek, and she holds your face in her hands for a while.
I love you.
I love you too, Mom. I'll be okay.
Your sister runs up and hugs your leg.
Hey. I ruffle her pigtails.
I don't want you to go.
I'll be fine. Hey, I'll bring you back something.
Promise?
Promise. Of course. What else would I be going out for?
Okay, what are you waiting for? Get out of here,
okay.
Then.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Your dad just goes, honey.
She's young, Dad. It's all right.
Your parents actually kind of chuckle a little bit.
I'll be fine. I promise I will be fine.
You better keep yourself safe.
Of course.
Okay.
I'm a Fitzwilliams. It's what we do.
That make good suits and survive.
That it is.
Your friend Basil comes up to you and he smacks you on the back. Hey!
Hey, how's it going, Basil?
It's going good.
Yeah?
Heard you leaving.
Yeah, I want to see the world. You'd understand, right?
I do. I actually, I came here. I'll probably see you on the road, you know? I've always been looking at getting out of this town.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you and I have talked about it.
Absolutely, yeah. Hey, I know Duncan's not in port right now, but if you see him, could you tell him goodbye to me?
Yeah, 100%.
Thanks.
Yeah. Reason I came here. Why was the reason I came here? What was it? Gosh. Charlotte is waiting for you.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
Where?
On the hill outside of town.
Oh.
Yeah. She told me to tell you something. What was it?
You got
this. Sure, she'll tell you. I'm sure she'll tell you.
Okay, are you sure?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, hey, sure.
You've always been a good mate.
Don't give me...
Hey, it's okay.
I'm fine. No, I'm a man.
I give Basil a hug.
He kind of goes, oh, here.
Hey, Basil.
Here come the waterworks.
Basil, it's okay. You can cry and still be a man. That's perfectly fine. That's accepted more in this day.
I love you, man.
I love you
and
too,
and he gives
bro.
You a big hug, and he just goes, I don't know what I'm going to do without you.
Dude,
like,
dude, you're going to be fine.
Business is just going to decline.
I'm not the one who's been driving your father's business or your business. It's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
You'll get out there. You'll invent things. You'll be famous.
Yeah.
You will.
Yeah. One of my great inventions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, of course. I'm going to look back at my...
Love you.
I love you, too. I look back at my mother and father, and I'm like, could you watch out for me? This is okay.
Your mom and dad just go,
yeah, okay, good, thanks.
Of course,
thanks, thank you. And
he just like points at you and just goes, love you, man, as he walks off. And you can see he's just wiping tears away.
What a man. And I turn and I grab my walking stick and I start heading out. Head towards the hill.
See, what's, what do we want here?
Is old maid following me, or is she not?
You can see she is following you out of town.
Okay.
You see as you pass... Oh. Excuse me. As you pass the outskirts of your small little town on the hill that separates Bonds Me from your town. Charlotte's waiting for you, staring off out into the big city. You see the wind catches her curly black hair as she rubs her arm, just staring as the wind catches her dress as well.
As I'm walking up, I shout out, it's a nice dress. Is it a Fitzwilliams?
She turns around and
it might be.
Might be. Interesting.
She tries to keep her composure for as long as she can before you see a single tear drip down her face.
I will be back. I promise you that.
Okay. I have something for you.
Oh, all right.
She takes out a small necklace with a blue gem on it. She puts it around your neck and she clasps it and steps back.
That's to make sure that you know who you're coming back to.
Of course.
I'm gonna pick it up and take a look at it.
It was my mom's.
Oh.
I can't. Yes, you can. Elias, you have been so good to me. And even though my father doesn't see it, I know he will.
That's a big bit of a stretch.
I'll work on him.
Alright.
I have something else for you.
She takes out what you know as a holy symbol of Sundari and hands it to you.
For protection.
Oh. Of course.
Just gonna awkwardly hold it there.
I will cherish this. Thank you.
I'm going to give her a hug and give her a kiss on the cheek, and then I'm going to back away.
She grabs your hand. She stares at you for a long time before pulling you in, and she just gives the most gentle kiss on your lips before stepping back. She punches you in the arm and says,
make sure to show that necklace to any of the women that you might meet.
Of course. Any of the women that I meet. I'm spoken for, definitely.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to not show that she accidentally hurt my arm by punching me.
You take like 50 damage.
She is a lot stronger than I am.
She smiles.
Okay, I guess this is goodbye.
No, it's... See you later.
See you later.
And I turn, and I pull my cap down, and I start walking.
Okay.
You start walking, and you see... the old maid is flying above you. You walk for quite some time before you feel that pull again.
Come to me.
It's the voice that you heard 10 years ago.
Is it pulling me forward?
It's pulling you towards the side of the mountain.
You know, I listened to you once, and it didn't really help me. It only hurt me a bit, though. Why not? I'm on an adventure. I'll go see what this is.
You feel that pull, and as you walk towards the side of the mountain, you see hidden on it is a small crevice, just barely big enough for a human to step through. And on the other side is a gateway that surrounding it has script on it you can't read.
I am going to look through. Do I see anything?
You look through and you see, as soon as your chest passes the threshold, you see black lightning across the walls as it lines with light of sickly green. Showing a tunnel leading deeper in.
I'm going to follow it.
Okay. You follow in, and you see probably 30 feet in an opening with furniture made of obsidian. And as you stand there, a door across the room opens up.
I'm going to walk cautiously towards it, but I'm going to pull my rapier out.
Okay.
And hold it in front of me.
Okay. You walk towards it, and inside you see a pedestal with two angled mirrors facing towards it.
Anything on the pedestal?
On the pedestal is that same sickly green eye with a pulsing green handprint.
I'm gonna walk forward.
Okay.
I'm gonna look at it. Do I still hear the whispers? Are they getting louder?
Or... they are not. They begin to fade.
Is it a left handprint or a right handprint?
Right handprint.
I put my hand over it.
Okay. You put your hand over it, and behind you, the door closes.
Oh, shoot.
And you feel the room begin to move forwards before it meets the other end. And the mirrors begin to raise. And in front of you is the same Arakocra you saw 10 years ago. And a young Wigson woman. And that is where we are going to end the episode. Well, thank you guys for watching today. And we will see you guys in the next episode.
Okay.
Happy falling.